This is URN.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to tonight's edition of The Pulse. Now we are going to be moving on to our third story of the night, and I believe that's Ben's story. Ben, what have you got for us?
So this is an opinion piece from the BBC today, which is essentially, when does flirting become sexual harassment? You will not, unless you've been living under a rock, you will not have been able to miss the stories mainly surrounding Harvey Weinstein, but also an Amazon executive has been accused of sexual harassment, sexual assault, all these kind of crimes recently, and more people have come forward. I believe it's about 60 people have come forward against Harvey Weinstein now. But with all... So, obviously, this is all quite a repulsive topic, but within that, and because people feel very uncomfortable talking about it, firstly, what gets ignored is that people often don't know the difference between one thing and another, and the way that when people are talking about it. So, for example, sexual assault is fairly, not clear-cut, but people know why that's kind of abhorrent in itself, but then somehow sexual harassment... Someone might say sexual harassment, for example, being wolf whistled at in the street is sexual harassment. Someone might say it's a compliment. Often the guy doing it is the one who thinks it's a compliment. That's kind of the problem. So what this piece on the BBC is about is basically giving advice as to how you know when the kind of line is crossed. Obviously, this is something that everybody... does in terms of it's an essential part of human relationships. Not an essential part of human relationships. You have human relationships between asexual people who are perfectly happy, but it's a very common part of human relationships. And between consenting adults, it's absolutely fine. So this piece is basically saying, when is the line crossed? How do you know when you're crossing it? The story has become even bigger because there's been a hashtag going around initially on Twitter. It's also now on Facebook, which is #MeToo. Now, that's where any woman, or I've seen a couple of guys do it as well, but mainly women who have been the victim of sexual harassment or sexual assault basically come forward, because one of the main problems with this as a kind of crime is that it's so underreported. There are millions of reasons why it doesn't get reported, and that often leads into the argument where people say, oh well, if it was so bad, why are you coming forward 40 years later? Why are you coming forward after everyone else has come forward? You're sort of bandwagon jumping, which has problems in itself. So I guess the question that I want to ask is, where do you think, or how do you think we should go about educating people so that we know that everyone should feel comfortable in this kind of area of life?
My immediate thought is a baseline for it is, when does the article's called "When Does Flirting Become Sexual Harassment?"
Yeah, when does flirting become sexual harassment?
Ignoring the word "no" is the easiest place to start, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, we say that, but one of our friends from outside in the studio made a good point that. Surely, if the person says no and you carry on, is it not still sexual harassment before and after them denying consent?
It could be, but you can give credit to the person and say they didn't realise. But then if they go on and then ignore the word no, they definitely had the intention to be.
If it's a matter of sort of the division of the line of no and whether it's harassment before that, surely that can also depend on the action that's been taken, of whether, you know, it's just some sort of chat up line or whether it's been some sort of inappropriate physical contact.
Also very good point. It does all very much depend on, again, the location, the context. I mean, there was a musician, and this was a month ago or so, I can't remember who it was now, that kicked someone out of a live gig for inappropriately touching a crowd surfing woman in the audience. So it does depend on context. It does depend on, you know, because in that scenario, I'm sure if the person had a chance to comment, they'd say, well, I wasn't deliberately doing it, this person's above me and I don't have a...
trying to make sure that they don't fall on you, injure you or themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so there are always these things around it, and possibly, and I don't know whether you guys agree, that that title is a little bit clickbait, it's a little bit misleading, because the discussion, as you pointed out, Ben, should be more, what can we do to make people feel safe in such areas? And what that's one that's really, really difficult, because it's an issue that's discussed regularly. It's an issue that's discussed by people with actual power to do things. Occasionally, it's discussed in reverse by a room full of all men, as does. I mean, tonight's pulse is a little bit unusual in having three men and one woman. Our news editor will join us in a bit, but it is hard, and I can see, you know, everyone looking, everyone pensive, everyone thinking about, you know, how can we make places safer? Because there isn't. I'm racking my brain, and I can't actually think of. Deterrence after the act doesn't make the place safer.
Well, this is the question. This is why the original question was, how do we educate people as to... So, people know... In general, people know whether or not they are doing something that will make the other person feel uncomfortable, and if they're doing it, I'm sure Harvey Weinstein didn't care. He knew. It's not like no one had told him.
He was definitely in his own bubble a long time ago. He lost the basic compassion to listen to the people that he was harassing. Yeah,
but if you look at the culture that we grow up in, so there's a sentence in the article that says the line between flirtation and harassment is a very fine and often blurred one, which instantly makes me think of my least favourite song of all time, which is Blurred Lines. So catchy, but it's awful. And also, I saw a video recently there's a YouTuber or a channel called The Pop Culture Detective. There's a really interesting video essay he does about the sort of sexual harassment of Harrison Ford characters, and how if you look at a lot of the characters that he plays, there's a lot of not accepting no from a woman and that kind of thing. And these are the movies that we grow up watching and forms our expectations of how we should then go about relationships. It then doesn't become massively surprising that that you find out that the producers of these movies and a lot of people who were involved in it were also very much condoning of this behaviour.
We have to remember, though, that that most people can watch these movies and distinguish between real life and the fact that these are exaggerated characters, these are often ridiculous characters.
Well, you say most people can, but then when you see the kind of hashtag Me Too thing, and pretty much everyone I know, every female I know, has been sexually harassed. And over the last week, I've been talking to a lot of my female friends and kind of saying, I'm so sheltered from this because I don't keep an eye out for it. It doesn't really happen to me. I don't particularly care when it does. Like, I got groped in Crisis yesterday. I didn't really care, but that's because I feel kind of safe and not vulnerable, whereas even that's not even particular to a gender, that's just particular to me, I suppose.
One of the things that was instilled in me as I was growing up was to make sure that I kept myself safe and was always aware of who was around me. And I think that young girls and young women have that sense of awareness far more than boys and young men have.
Well, they need it far more, don't they?
Yeah, but they shouldn't have to need it. Everyone should have their own awareness to keep themselves safe, yes, but it shouldn't be a matter of, you're a girl, you have to be super aware, because if anything happens to you, it's your fault.
Well, but I mean, not to generalise, but males do tend to be the more predatory gender, and so much as you don't want the world to be a situation where females do need to, or do grow up being told that they have to be particularly wary of. And the reason why the Weinstein case and all of these kind of things is so disgusting is because
these are women who are trying to promote their own careers and get ahead, and it's abusing that
exactly
as well.
It's a power thing. It's not just a an everyday wolf whistling on the street thing, which is obviously not okay either, but the reason why this is so shocking to everyone is because this is affecting not just a particular moment, but people's entire careers, people's entire lives and reputations.
Yes, and one of the other things you said on there was about it going back 40 years. Mm. And I'm sure there are other cases out there where it's, you know, similar time lengths. But the key point there is 40 years ago and what changes have happened in society to this point now as to how attitudes are developing and how we are getting to a point of saying, no, you can't do that anymore. Times have moved on.
Mm. Well, I do think it's going to sound weird to put it like this, but I do think it's quite reassuring that we are kind of growing up in a world where actually people do
change is happening.
It's hugely positive. Not just for women, but also for men. Like you said, there were men out there who had said that they'd felt like they'd been harassed, and that's part of the point of it. There's so much emphasis on the harassment of women that it is easy to overlook that men can be harassed as well.
And there's the situation of the men might be scared to come forward if they think they will be taken seriously.
Mm. Yeah. But regardless of who is the victim, there isn't much of a denial in saying that men are by far and away the aggressors, far more than they are. I mean, we were trying to find figures yesterday and we found varying figures, but 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 sexual assaults happens on a man. But we couldn't find figures for how many are committed by a woman. But I wouldn't assume it was much above 1 in 10, if much, one above 100.
There is the very real risk of once we start getting to statistics, we might accidentally diminish the fact that it does happen to men and all different types of women and all different types of men. It's not as we focus too much on what's obvious and what's clear cut.
It's not about the number, it's about the impact on the individual.
Well, even one is too many. And especially as with a crime like this, I remember a police officer saying to me once that we kind of ignore crime numbers for this sort of thing, because if we see an increase in the number of crimes reported, we don't immediately assume it's an increase in the number of crimes committed, which is an alarming point if you think about it. But I think, is there anything else anyone wants to add to this conversation briefly?
Yes. The other week I was out and I just happened to see a group of friends, two girls and one boy, and one of the girls slapped the boy. Now, the way that was taken, they were all laughing, joking, and there was sort of nothing to show aggression with that. But my point is that if it was the other way round and he had slapped her, things would have gotten far more serious and people would probably have come over and said, you can't do that. So why is one acceptable and the other isn't?
Because the genders are different and because it's a power thing.
But why should that be the case?
We've seen in pop culture...
It's about giving everyone the equal treatment and respect that they deserve, regardless as to their sex or gender.
But are they friends?
Yes.
Well, if my female friends slap me all the time, maybe that's not a great...
Would you dare slap them back, though?
No, and I don't have a problem with that as a kind of way of things being.
So why should they feel like they can slap you?
It's normally quite funny, and I normally deserve it.
Well, sitcoms...
goodness me, that's the kind of wording we hear in other contexts.
That was unfortunate, yeah. Sorry, I was going to say that pop culture has had this recurring problem since as far back as sitcoms or whatever, that violence against men is treated as a joke, and that has a knock-on effect on the way people just view abuse in general towards either gender.
I would very much, this is a slight, you've just reminded me when you talk about sitcoms, I would very much recommend another, I spend most of my time on YouTube, which is why this is where all of my thoughts end up, but I would very much recommend watching, I can't remember what channel it's on, but there's a video about the misogyny in the Big Bang Theory.
Which,
when you watch it, you don't clock it, but then that's how it gets ingrained into people. Yeah. But when it's really flagged up, it's absolutely vile.
I think the video is called something like the casual misogyny in the Big Bang Theory. Yeah. And you watch it; it really isn't casual in the slightest.
No,
it's really quite alarming. But I think that's all we've got time for on this topic.
This is URN.